Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you are listening live, this is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk. We are talking tonight about a wee bit of science. I'm interested in this. We've got Sarah Clark, who, if you are a Scottish educator on Twitter, you probably have seen as at SFM36. Sorry, Sarah. No, not a Twitter handle. It drips off my tongue, but it's lovely to have you here. So good evening, Sarah.
Good evening.
And maybe you could just kick off by telling us a wee bit about yourself, where you teach and how you got there and all the rest of that, just a wee bit of background.
Yeah, I'm Sarah Clark. I'm a biology teacher over at Queen Anne High School in Dunfermline and Fife. Although I hail from the other side of the Forth, I live in Falkirk, and I've been teaching for 18 years in the classroom. I'm main grade teacher. I'm actually part-time. I do 4 days a week, so I have a wee Monday to myself, and it's biology is my subject, and I'm very much passionate about all things tech, as well as outdoor learning and active learning in the science classroom as much as we can. And studied at Stirling University long time ago, and I've been back a few times to do some work with them and their student teachers. And most people probably know from the amount of tweets that I put out on the Microsoft Innovative Educator Expert Program, the big long one, and I'm an Apple teacher as well, so I've not dipped my foot in anything Google wise yet, but Microsoft and Apple are the two things that we're using in the classroom, so that's pretty much me.
Brilliant. And I'm kind of interested in the biology angle, because I see more, I think, physics teachers, maybe chemistry teachers, using ICT or digital than biology. So I'm interested in how it fits in biology. Nearly half a century ago, I think I was a biologist, so I'm interested in how that's going and all the rest of it. So you're going to tell us a wee bit about that. If you're listening live, folks, you might want to, if you want to join in or ask Sarah a question, if you stick something on Twitter with the hashtag Edutalk, we'll try and catch it. That's great. So do you want to give us just a wee bit of background about how you used it, or some of the ways you use technology in the biology classroom?
Yeah. As you said, I think a lot of people usually think about your technology with physics. And I started off years ago with a USB. I've always, been into my technology a little bit, with a USB stick and an old floppy drive. And then that kind of progressed into using data logging software and things. So, in biology, we do use a lot of the data logging software to gather information from experiments that we're doing. For me, it's more about kind of developing the digital skills of the kids, that they can take those skills that they're doing in biology and transfer them, whether they're going into a history lesson or an English lesson, and just how can that then be used within the biology class. So we have got, we use a lot of the Office 365 tools, your basic Word for writing up reports, your PowerPoints for showing their learning, and their Excel for data handling and stuff like that as well. And those are kind of the basics that we're using all the time in science, but in biology. But also the idea that a lot of the stuff that we do in biology, the kids, because it's at a molecular level, the kids don't really, they can't get a really good understanding of what it is, because they can't see it all the time. So I've been looking at ways that the technology can kind of enhance that, and using some VR and augmented reality, the virtual reality stuff, just to try and get them to understand what's happening inside their body a bit more. And that's not to say we've had models and things in the classroom before, but if we can try and show them that the technology can be used to see what's going on inside their body a bit more, or use the technology to engage them a bit more. So, for example, we used to have digital microscopes, that were extremely expensive. I mean, I think they were about they're still about £2,000 actually for one of them. Whereas with the idea now that digitising what they're seeing, the kids take their phones out and they're taking a picture. They can take a picture down the eyepiece of what they're seeing, and I can project that onto the board for them so that they know what they're looking for. We can point out different things. And they like the fact that they can take it home. They can go home and they're showing their friends and they can zoom in on it and they can see more detail than they can actually see just looking down the microscope. So trying to build in the technology that they've got at hand just within the lesson so that it engages them that little bit more, but it also is adding to their understanding of the biology. And I have to say, their phone is probably, their phone and the iPads, anything with a camera is probably the one thing that I use the most in the classroom to take pictures of the experiment that they're doing. Even now, they'll take pictures of the experiment, little video clips of an experiment, and then they can watch them back. Or the next day, we can put them up on the board and say, remember, we were doing this yesterday. And as soon as they see the wee video clip, they're like, oh, yeah, that was happening, and this is why that was happening, and this is what we did, and we changed this. So it just engages them that little bit more, and they like the fact that they can go away with it and they can show their friends and show the people in the other class, or they can show their parents what they were doing in class as well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as a primary school teacher, the camera is one of my favourite things. And I got recently in, I think it's a shop called Tiger. I got a microscope for the iPad or an iPhone, which clips on. It's not like a great microscope, but you can stick it on and it magnifies even what you've got on the camera there. And it was £1, which I think is a fantastic thing because my kids are fascinated by bugs, beasts and slugs, so they spend a lot of time taking photographs of these, you know.
Even just today, we had a sample taken from a river, and we're looking at all the organisms, and we're trying to identify all the little invertebrates that were swimming about in it, and one of them said, Mrs. Clark, I can't see it properly under the microscope. She said, is it okay? And I have to admit, my kids are very, very good. They asked, and she said, is it okay if I take my phone out and take a picture so I can zoom in and see what his tail looks like? And I was like, brilliant, definitely go for it. And that helped her then to identify it. So I think now they're starting to see how they can use their tools, you know, for learning, for productivity, rather than just for Snapchatting and messaging their pals all the time. So
does your school have a policy around phone use?
The council has a policy on, they're developing their bring your own device policy at the moment and trialling it out within Fife Council. And our school, it's really down to the teacher whether or not they allow them to use it, although across the school the message has been put out that the phone should be away unless the teacher has said they're allowed to be out for a learning purpose. And then there are consequences regards to that, and we're still developing that at the moment in the class and trying to figure out how we can manage it. And I think that's the hardest part in it, and it does become quite hard to manage with some classes and some pupils. And I think this is one of the reasons why staff can be quite reluctant to use them, because trying to keep them on task when it's their own phone and it's pinging messages every 5 minutes or every 30 seconds. That can be it. And for me, that's why I've tried to use them more within the classroom, to let them see they can use them if we're using it for learning. And 90% of the time, I don't have a problem, although I have got a little phone jail in my classroom if this comes in. It says on the front, phone jail. And if the phone comes out and it shouldn't be out, they're told to put it away, and if it's back out again, they're then asked to go and put it in the jail. And they can see it, it's a clear box, they can see it, it's on my desk, it's not going anywhere, and then they collect it at the end of the period.
I was imagining bars.
I've drawn them on my Sharpie. It's an old like detergent tub or something like that, a clear one with a lid on it, and I've cut a hole in the top for the phone gel.
Every classroom should have one, I suppose. And it's a start. That debate seems to go back and forwards about whether we should be allowing children to use phones and even technology and
It's a hard one. It is a hard one, and I completely understand why staff don't want to have the phones in their class. And I think a lot of it is about kind of setting the precedent, setting the rules for your class. I have a kids don't listen to any music in my class. Their phones are only out if it's for learning. So kids will come in and say, "Oh, can I listen to music?" We do that in so-and-so's class, and I say, I have a no headphone rule, no music rule. The only music is the music that's coming through my computer. So they know there is no need for the phone to be out at all. And then there's no ambiguity in my class. It's out for learning or it's away. And that's kind of how I deal with it in my class. And it seems to be working so far.
That's great, because you hear the odd story of people getting into real kerfuffles with phones. Because, I mean, even with just technology that the schools give them, people can get into bother or get upset about having children having access and messaging and all the rest of it, even school devices back and forwards. But I think it sounds like you've got a good kind of plot there. I don't know what you want to go on to next. I'm quite interested in the, you know, passing stuff back and forwards and how that goes.
Collaboration with the kid, me and the kids and the kids with each other, yeah. I mean, as I've said, we use most of our digital tools are all through Glow. Mm-hmm. We have access to the Office 365 suite there, so we're using everything's in the cloud, which makes it much, much easier for kids to share. So if I've tried recently with our lab reports and things like that. In fact, my kids have been doing a report very recently, and it was the hires were doing their lab reports for their higher human biology, and they had to share it with me. And they did it in Glow. They clicked top right-hand corner, the share button, inputted my Glow email, and then straight away that appeared in my OneDrive. So we work like that, how they can easily share documents with me if it's an assignment or something that's got to be done. But also when they're working together, I use Sway quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I also use still, you know, your PowerPoint. If we're looking for kids, if they're doing a research task, so maybe it's a topical science project on space or body systems, and they're maybe working in a small group, two or three of them, I really like using Sway for that, because they can insert images, they can insert audio, but the beauty is that they can all work on the document all at the same time. So they go on, get a link, they email the link to each other, and then as long as they're not working on the same card or the same slide at the same time, they can be building up their presentation to show their learning all together. And often tweet it out through the Queen Anne High School digital Twitter page. Quite often you've got two screens with the same information on it, and you can see that the kids are working away together. So we use the share feature, because everything's stored in the cloud, a lot, particularly with Sway and with PowerPoint. And it's quite, when you show them how to do it, I'm actually amazed sometimes when kids come in that they don't know these things. But then there isn't an IT lesson traditionally like there used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was at school, you used to get IT, you all got around one computer. But there isn't a traditional IT lesson anymore. So these are things that they're picking up from different subjects. So when they come in and I say to them, have you used Sway before? And they'll say no. So they get a wee run through of it. And then I'll say to them at the end, like, you need to share that with your group or with your partner. And they'll say, I don't know how to do that. And once you show them, instantly they're going, oh, that's really good. Because they can work in it as well. So they've seen the benefit of working in the cloud collaboratively together. And then you don't then have the problem the next day of, well, I was working with John and John's not here today and it was saved on his server space and I can't get onto it, so I need to start again, which was the problem that we were having before we stored. Most of our stuff is now stored within Glow, within OneDrive and Glow, so that the pupils can access it wherever. So I now know, I'll say, well, they'll say, my partner's not in today, and I'll say, yeah, but he shared the link with you, therefore you can go back and you can finish off that task that you were doing last day. And you see their wee faces dropping something.
You got them.
But the idea of them collaborating, and we're now trying to do that with anything, whether they're working on an Excel document or a Word document, if they're working on some kind of a presentation together, it's the idea that they share with the other people in their group and they can all work on it at the same time. And just, again, developing those skills that they can then take into any other subject, not just in science. But we've been using Sway for that kind of thing, for presentations if they've been doing research tasks, but also I've been using them for kind of slightly different, like lab report styles, experimental, if the kids have been doing an experiment, because they've been adding in pictures. Mm-hmm. So they can take pictures and they can easily add in a picture, and then they can add in over the top of the picture a wee bit of audio explaining what happened in the experiment and why it happened, but then they can still add the standard method and conclusion and evaluation after that. It just gives it that little bit extra for them as well, so you can check their understanding. And within, if any of them go on and study science at university, presenting your data for an experiment now is all done as a big poster. It's done in PowerPoint as a poster that's, they set them up around the university, and all these posters of their work is put up there, and that's all done through PowerPoint. So I use that. We have a wee template that we work on in my science classroom that the kids can then go in and input their data and their experimental procedure in there too.
Right. It's changed a lot, I guess, biology since I was there. One of the things I always struggled with, and this is up before any ICT was involved in university life, was the amount of drawing that you need to do in biology. And I was just wondering, is that changed because you can take photographs and annotate them?
Yeah, they still have to label diagrams, in science and in biology as well. There's a lot of diagrams. And we still do your traditional cut and paste. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of cutting and pasting where you're giving them bits of paper and printouts. But the fact now that you can take a picture, so instead of having to print out 20 little square bits of paper and cutting them up and then getting them to stick in the Jotter, I can take a picture of one of them. And I use OneNote a lot, so I can insert the image into OneNote, and then they can go on and they can annotate it in there, and they don't lose it. Bits of paper fall out their jotter and glue falls apart and jotters get lost and wet. And the fact that they can keep everything in their OneNote now, I often take pictures or screenshot, from a website or from a past paper. You can screenshot from a past paper and then insert the question straight into this online world for them, and they can then go on and annotate it that way. And with digital inking, I think that in the science class and in biology has really made a difference. It can be quite hard to annotate something when you're using a mouse and it's not got a touch screen. So with devices like the iPad or the Surface or a Windows computer that's got a touch screen and a stylus, you can then just very easily do what you would do on a bit of paper, draw the line on it, and they can then just write on what it is that they're doing. But the fact that it's digital means that it's stored online, and they can then come back to it whenever, and they don't have the problem of things getting lost. And that is a big, big problem in school. Kids always lose things. Don't know how many jotters I've gone through with one of my classes so far this year. If it's online, you can go back, and even if they've lost it, they can always access it. And for me as the teacher as well, when we're labelling up diagrams, I'm extremely lucky in that, as I said, I'm on the Microsoft here comes the mouthful again, the Microsoft Innovative Educator Expert Programme. I'm also a Surface trainer, and Microsoft very kindly gave me a Microsoft Surface tablet to use in the classroom and a wireless dongle, so I can easily take pictures of anything, project it up onto the board, and because it has a pen, I can then annotate everything. Mm-hmm. And all my board work now is done within OneNote, and the kids can access it out of class at any time. So for any pupil that's absent, or if they're going back and revising, or if they're out on a Duke of Edinburgh expedition, I can say to them, the notes from that lesson are in there. So it gives them, it's not the same as being in the classroom, but it does mean that they can go back and they can look at what they've missed.
Mm-hmm.
And don't then have to be copying them all up as well from their friend's jotter. They can go on, they can have a look, and they can take down what are the key points from it and copy it into their own OneNote notebook as well. So I'm extremely lucky that I have access to that technology in my classroom, but it's changed how I give the kids information this year. And we're not a one-to-one school. We're not a one-to-one in the classroom. It's whenever I can get access to devices for the kids. I'm very lucky that we have iPads in our biology department. My head of department used a allocation and saved it up for a while to buy them, because I'd been asking him for something. So he bought them for us. But we're not one-to-one. But mm-hmm. It means the kids can access it outside the classroom, during study periods, during lunch, or at home, if they're revising at home as well. So the idea of digital inking and annotating on top of diagrams, whether it's real life photographs, or you know, textbook diagrams, past paper questions, that kind of thing, it's made a big difference this year.
I'm kind of interested in the management of the, if it's not one-to-one, are the children, pupils, I guess, students maybe, secondary school, are they saving that from their iPads to Glow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they can just pick up any device?
Yeah, everything that they do is, I try and do everything through OneNote for them, so that they've got, we use OneNote and we actually use Teams now, mm-hmm. since Teams has came out, but it's kind of the one place they go. They know that any conversation that I'm having with them out of class is done in Teams. And they know that any information relating to the class, whether that's notes, whether it's videos, whether it's photographs, videos of experiments, links to videos on YouTube, they're all in the OneNote. And anything that they do on OneNote. That then gets automatically saved up to the cloud, so that they can do it, whether it's on an iPad in the class, whether it's a laptop in the class, because we have laptops as well. They can go to the computer room or the library or their own phone or their own iPad or their own computer at home, and they can access that material on any device at any time. So we don't then have the problem of them having to, you know, email me things, or even AirDrop. And AirDrop's great when you're using that on your phone and on an iPad, but sometimes we don't have access to the iPads. So if they're doing everything within Glow, it's all being saved in the one place for them. To be used anytime.
I think you've kind of, my next question was about, because you're getting all, I imagine in a secondary school you've got, even just on 4 days a week, you'll have a lot of pupils over the week, and the organisation from your point of view is potentially quite complicated, but I'm guessing that OneNote just solves that for you.
To be able to organise where everything is. I'm actually using it this year as my planner as well. I'm trialling it as my planner. I still have a paper planner, which actually is sitting next to me just now, with some handwritten notes in it. But I'm, you know, trialling for myself. And I can then see, I can go in and I can see the kids, the work that they've done in OneNote. They haven't done everything in OneNote. They've still got their jotter. But I can go on and I can check back and I can see exactly what I did the previous day or the previous week or the previous month, what the board notes were. And then that means the next day I can come in. I've actually got, this year, I've got two advanced higher classes. I've got two third year biology classes and I've got two higher human biology classes. Now, the fact that they are two different classes doing the same course, they never run exactly the same. There's always changes. That I can go on and I can see exactly, oh, that was the class that I did that with on the board, and that was the class that we didn't quite get to. That is making my life so much easier this year. And also because a couple of those classes are shared classes with another member of staff in the department, she can go on, look at the OneNote, look at the board notes that I've done, and she can then pick that up the next day. We have our conversations through Teams. This is where I got to. Can you take them on to this now? But she can then go on and see the work that they've done, or see the pictures of the experiments that they've done, or the little video of the that they watched, or the video that they made about the practical that they did. So in terms of managing our workload, it's made it easier to organise, although there is an investment of time at the beginning on how to use the tool and what's the best way to use the tool, definitely at the beginning. But once that time is invested at the beginning, it does save you a lot of time in the long run. And the girl that the teacher I share my classes with, we job share together.
Mm-hmm.
She said that to me. She says, listen, can you take me through Teams? And I said, right, we'll do a quick 15-20 minute introduction to get you started. And she came back to me about 2 weeks later and she said, it's saving me so much time. She says, communicating with the science baccalaureate and the advanced higher pupils. She says, they're able to share their documents with me, they're able to share the work that they're doing with me. She went, and I know from you every week where they are and what you did with them. So in that sense, she said, it was worth the investment of the 20 minutes at the start to get her time back weeks down the line.
Well, 20 minutes isn't bad, is it?
And it's not bad, but it can be hard to find when you're on deadlines, and I do understand that.
But the idea of, you know, you say, save you know, your board work, and mm-hmm. I've never really thought of it as saving my blackboard. But that's quite marvellous, and to save it and then be able to share it with somebody else, and possibly not have to worry too much about your handwriting and chalk either, would be very good.
We've had Promethean boards and smart boards, mm-hmm. and they've all been able to save, you know, a version of the whiteboard. But the fact that I do it straight into OneNote means that it goes on there instantly. And they can actually follow along. If they've got a computer open, the writing comes up within 20 seconds on their mm-hmm. screen in front of them as well. And I had a pupil last year who was dyslexic and needed a green filter. And with OneNote, if there was anything that I'd put up on the board, I mean, any PowerPoints or any diagrams that we had, we changed the background colour to be green. But sometimes there's just things, you know, that I was just writing up. A pupil would say, what page am I supposed to be on? And you quickly write that up on the board, or a wee question or a wee direction or a wee diagram or something for them. And that would go up on the board. And that was a white screen, which he really struggled to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I was putting them all on the OneNote, he sat with the iPad in front of him, and we were high tech that he could see anything that I was putting on the board within about 10-20 seconds of me doing it. But he then had a green physical filter that he just put over the top of the iPad, so he could follow along any, you know, off the cuff moments that we had in the class that were going up on the board. He could follow along with that just by putting his green filter over the top of it. So I think that's when I really realised, right, this is where all my board notes are going to go now, because they can easily access them. And for pupils with any SEN, any special educational needs, it made it easier for them too, because you can change background colours of the page quite easily, as well as just being able to put a filter over the front of the device. You know?
And so the pupils have access to the blackboards that you used last week. I'm saying the blackboards, but you know, they've got a whole history from the whole course. Do you save the whole course in the OneNote file?
Yeah. They're just headed. There's a little folder in my OneNote that says board notes. For my advanced higher class, they're all in the same notebook, but I've got two different classes that come at different times. So it says, you know, Advanced Higher J board notes and Advanced Higher L board notes, so they can see the different. They can see each other's, but they're only interested in the ones that are there. But they can go back, and they can go back through the whole course. So in, you know, January, February, when they're working on assessments, they can go back and visit what we're doing just now in October, and everything is there, and they're all dated, they're all date stamped, and everything as well, so they can see exactly what happened in the class on that day.
And have you got to the stage where you can recycle these things for next year? And
yeah, I have a master OneNote that's got the content library has got all the any handouts that they get, you know, their any worksheets that they would get, links to videos that I use year in, year again, homeworks, past papers, mind maps, those things that we're using each year, they're all stored in a content library of a master document. And then the next year when the new notebook gets made up, I just use there's a distribute feature. Mm-hmm. I can send it to my new notebook and then send it out to every kid, so I don't have to keep the photocopying is then being reduced. So we are saving money that way. But the board notes tend to be something that I do every year. I started the board notes last year and I'm doing it again this year, but because it changes and it's quite fluid and it depends on what the kids, the questions are asking, that's something that I have PowerPoints as a basis, and it's just inserted as a printout on the page, and then we add extra information to that. But I still have a content library that just gets distributed, and have done. I've probably been using it for about the last 3.5 years. So each year it's been building and adding more to it, and I just distribute it each year. And I can share it with other members of the department as well.
No, that sounds great. And that's maybe something, I mean, how in your school, I'm guessing you're probably a bit further down this road than other people. And how's it going? Are you, obviously your partner is finding the affordance of the technology useful, but how's it going with the rest of the school and spreading, do you think?
It's quite a mix, actually. We've done the PT in charge of computing science is also in charge of digital learning, and we ran kind of CPD sessions for staff back in the summer, during study leave when staff had a wee bit extra time, and introduced them to, we've done it for the last couple of years, but last year we introduced them to any of the new technologies like Teams that were coming out, and we got quite a good take up. There was lots of staff keen to see how it could help them and how it could benefit them. And what we've been doing is we've been monitoring Glow usage numbers in our school.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've seen over the last couple of years is that the in terms of staff logins, it tells us the number of staff that are logging in. So we can see more staff are using Glow, and the fact that more staff are using Glow, we know that they're building their technologies into their lessons. And we've got the kids are coming in as well, and I'll say to them, have any of you used this tool before? And they'll go, yeah, I use this in this subject and I use it in that subject. So we know across the school staff are using tools like OneNote, Sway, Teams, and we know that they are being used. And what we're also doing is, as I said, looking at the number of times pupils are logging in, not necessarily the unique user logins. Mm-hmm. We know how people are in the school and at some point they will have logged in, but we're looking at the number of times kids are logging in as well, and we can see that through our Glow statistics that we get every couple of months, that the numbers are going up, therefore pupils are using technology more and more in the school, therefore they are using it in more and more departments more often.
That's great, yeah. That sounds very positive. I mean, obviously, to teach me fair well, you've probably seen various waves of new technology coming on and then going away and then coming on. I mean, we've had various iterations of all sorts of things.
It's one of the things when, you know, the staff, it's the time it takes to learn a new tool and how to use it in the classroom and the why to use it in the classroom. That's one of the key things as well, which I am put across in the sessions we do in school, is the why it's important for the teacher, why it's important for the kids, how it helps to develop the knowledge. And the one thing that they say is, when a tool gets updated, it's brilliant, it gets updated, it's got more features, but it can really cause havoc with the staff as well. Because they've just got used to something and then it disappears. And or it gets updated and it's called a new name and it's slightly different, and that can be a big, big frustration for staff when they get used to a certain tool and then that tool either disappears or changes so much so that they have to spend a lot more time trying to learn how to use it. And I understand the frustrations with that. And we always say in any of the sessions that we've done and any of the sessions that I do, I always say to people is pick one tool this year. Rather than looking at all the tools that are available, pick one. And if you can pick one tool, spend time getting to know how it works, thinking how it can be used in your class, how it can enhance the learning of the pupils, what you can do with it, and then really become confident in that. And then once you're getting to that point where you're confident in using it, maybe 8 months down the line, a year down the line, then maybe look at another tool and try integrating that one as well. That's the way I find it works for me, and that's the message that we try and put across to the staff. Don't try and do everything at once because there's so much out there.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe one of the things in the past that people tended to get is they got a huge bunch of all sorts of digital over, you know, one in service day or something like that, and it's just too much.
It came up on Twitter the other week. It was the old NOF training that we used to get. I did the NOF training. Yeah. I still found one of the booklets not that long ago, you know, when you went and you got all these, and they were all new tools in those days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was NOF trainer for my school at that time. And I suspect that the way now that if you take the approach you're talking about is if you actually learn to use one tool well, you've actually learned to use a heck of a lot more different tools because rather each time you approach them, you find, you know, yeah, if you're using a big bunch of Microsoft stuff, they will tend to have the same menus. They will tend to have, you know, things that are shared, and it's easier to move from one to the other, say, than it is to try and absorb them all at once, you know.
And the idea with the kids is whether it's Microsoft, whether it's, you know, Apple Classroom, is it called Apple Classroom? Or Google Classroom as well. The idea that they're collaborating and they're sharing is very similar. So for the kids, it's getting across to them, it's yes, it's a tool and they're learning how to use, but it's the idea that they're learning the importance of collaboration, or they're learning the importance of why you would store in the cloud and not store on a USB flash drive. Those are the messages that I try and get across as well. So hopefully those skills, when the kids leave, they can see the benefits of, oh, well, I was using that in school, but it's very similar to this tool in the sense that it's stored in the cloud and we can all work together on it. So that's kind of my aim when it comes to using it with the kids.
Mm. I mean, I think, interesting earlier on, you were saying that the children quite often will come into the class and adults sometimes believe they're tech savvy. Yeah. But you're saying they haven't realised that what they use for fun is useful for their learning.
Yeah.
Once they get that, then they're much happier moving between tools than maybe older people are. But they need to get that first, this is why you would use it. This is, you know, useful and you can do this, you know.
They talk about them being, you know, the digital natives, but a lot of them, I mean, I'm working with pupils that are, you know, 12 up to 18, and some of them, I probably find actually the age group that are probably the most resistant to it are your third and fourth year pupils. You get a lot of, when you pull out the tool, I was doing Excel graphs the other day, and I had a lot of them going, the computer doesn't like me. And I says, the computer is an inanimate object and has no feelings towards you, whatever. It will only do what you're telling it to do. So let's go back, let's have a look at what you're doing. And you know, that idea from them, once they can be a bit scared of it as well, just as staff can. And sometimes it's saying, if the staff can gain a bit of confidence in it, you don't have to be an expert in using the tool, but the kids can then go on and run with it a bit more if you can highlight some of the issues that they're going to come up against and help build their confidence in it.
Yeah, and I guess somebody has got to be able to do, you've got to be able to deal with things when things don't always work. And I think possibly nowadays our tool set is getting a bit more stable and easier to get around, but a lot of people remember earlier and having you know, going to the ICT suite and nothing worked. And you end up with a big bunch of kids jumping up and down. And that's maybe quite a negative effect on staff. But I think, like, say, that what we've got now, the tools tend to work a bit more. Just things go, both my mind, things go smoother.
Really? But I mean, just even the idea that you're talking about the kids in terms of using for their learning as well. I mean, I use Kahoot all the time, the Kahoot app, and we have the app, or you can use it on the computer, and saying to the kids, you know, you can do this at home when you're revising. Don't be on your phone messaging constantly. Go on your phone, go on a Kahoot, and have a go. There's loads and loads of quizzes out there, and letting them see that those apps are there to help them with their learning, and it's this idea of productivity with them as well. And they love a Kahoot, and I love a Kahoot. And we have great fun when we're doing it as well, you know.
That's, I mean, that's super. I mean, I know we're pushing time now, Sarah, so I'm kind of aware that you've probably got a life. And which is
gymnastics run about 9:05 tonight.
All right, so the kind of last thing I'd like to talk to you about a wee bit is the Skype in the classroom stuff, because you've done it. I've just seen on Twitter basically that you've been talking about Skype in the classroom, and as I said to you before the show, back in the, you know, my ancient history, I did a fair bit of video conferencing with old video conferencing units that sat on top of tellies, and
wheel the telly in first.
It was difficult, but you could see the potential, and I think with the sounds of it, there's a lot more going on. And I just wonder if you could talk a wee bit about Skype in the classroom for folk that maybe haven't heard of it or used it.
Through Glow, everybody's got Skype for Business, and the ability to be able to communicate with other classrooms within Scotland, that can be done very, very easily through Skype within Glow. For most councils, I think within Glow, I think every council can contact, like every teacher could contact another teacher within Glow. Contacting people out with Glow through Glow can be problematic depending on what council you're in and that kind of thing. But what I've been doing is we've done Skype a scientist in our class, and I found my scientist through the Microsoft Educator community has the Skype in the classroom stuff is Microsoft do that. It's a big program that they have. They have a big Skype-a-thon coming up in November where they're encouraging teachers to do it. And they've lots of lessons on there and lots of people that you can, experts that you can connect with, as well as classrooms all over the world. You can play Mystery Skype and try and guess where in the world the other classroom is that you're speaking to by answering yes or no. It's a bit like Guess Who. With that one, and they have joint cahoots and things across it as well. But what I've been using it for is for Skype a Scientist, where we connect with a scientist somewhere around the world, and they are invited into our classroom through Skype, so we don't have the problems of having to get out for the day. You know, an hour's chat only takes an hour. It doesn't take 3 hours because we don't have to travel anywhere. We don't have permission slips. We don't have buses. And we invite the scientists to come in and talk on a particular topic. It could be, I've had a few over the last year. One of them was we connected with Edinburgh Zoo Royal Zoological Society up in the wildlife park up in Aviemore as well. They're on the educator community to connect with them. One of the pupils was doing a project on enrichment for a science baccalaureate, and she needed to speak to an expert, so we Skyped them and they spoke to us about enrichment. It was part of the advanced higher course. She got to ask her questions. We also, for the higher human class, had what we're doing all to do with vaccinations and spread of disease, and we connected through Skype a Scientist with a couple of scientists in Glasgow University, actually. You could get one all over the world. We ended up getting one from Glasgow University, who actually was lab partner with one of my ex-pupils. Mm-hmm. Bizarrely, it just so happened. They do a lot of outreach work. And the two, they were talking about Zika virus, and they came in and spoke to the kids about what they do, the work that they do. So in terms of, you know, developing young workforce and looking for career opportunities, not only were we gaining the knowledge for the course, we were also looking at career opportunities for kids. And what they did, and they took them on a tour around the lab so we could see what a lab actually looked like inside, and they answered any questions that the kids had. So being able to Skype somebody and break down the walls of your classroom through this piece of technology that we've got sitting there, it's been really, really good. I don't want to do a Skype session. We haven't done the mystery Skypes purely because at high school we don't have time for them. Mm-hmm. It has to be linked to the curriculum that I'm doing. It has to be, because of time constraints, it has to be something that I can say, that's the content that we're doing, and this is going to add to this lesson by having a chat with a scientist. But in terms of for pastoral work or from primary schools or health and wellbeing, being able to contact a school in another country and learn about a country and a different country and what it's like in for children in that other country, it really opens up kids' eyes to what's going on in the world around them, and lets them see that the world actually isn't as big as it may seem, and we can connect with people and we can make connections. And you know, when we do the Skypes as well, the kids say, is this how people work in the outside world? And I'm saying, this is how people do business. Mm-hmm. This, you know, companies don't fly people halfway across the world now for a meeting. They all get together and they have a meeting on Skype for an hour, and then they move on and they have a meeting with somebody else on Skype. So it's letting them see that these tools are, they will be expected to use these tools when they go out into the real world as well. And this idea that they can collaborate with people anywhere around the world. And I did one last week with Darren Hurley, another Microsoft expert down in Wales. And he's asked me to come back and do the same lesson tomorrow with his kids. They're primary school kids and they're doing the human body. And he wanted a teacher from a high school to give them a lesson on the human body. So I'm Skyping into him at 1 o'clock tomorrow to speak to his kids and give them a wee bit of specialist knowledge about the human body from a science teacher point of view, a biology teacher point of view. So it was great last week, and I'm looking forward to doing that again in my lunch hour, because I've not got time to do it in class.
I was going to say, you're very busy, and that all sounds fantastic. Not only are you pulling in experts to your class, you're being an expert for other people. Just probably before we've got a wee question on Twitter there, somebody called PHS STEM at STEM at PHS. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing something high school. Says they use a smart board, and would they need to ditch that for OneNote? And do you think OneNote has similar features?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what they're using the smart board for. I have a Promethean board in my classroom, which actually the only thing that I used it for really was the whiteboard capabilities of it, and maybe adding images. So not anything more than what I use my OneNote for now. Mm-hmm. And it was the idea that even on the smart board, you can pull up OneNote on the smart board and you can use the OneNote on the smart board. You've got the digital annotation in there. All I'm doing with mine is I'm projecting what I'm writing on my Surface device, you know, onto a whiteboard, let's say. You know, it's being projected onto it. With the smart board, they can just write straight on the smart board the way that I'm doing in my OneNote. So they can just open up OneNote on the smart board and use it that way, and just annotate on top of it. There's cheaper alternatives than buying a smart board for doing that, but it's
A projector and a big piece of white paper.
And a computer and a wireless dongle. He instructs the man to talk to about that. But if they have got a smart board there, they can still bring up OneNote and use it in the way that you can then share the notes with the kids. Because the problem they've probably got with the smart board is if they've got all the notes up there and they're all stored on a smart book note file, you then can't insert that into OneNote the same way.
Yeah, well, you can't. I guess you can't distribute to the children. You're using it as an in-class tool. I guess that would be the biggest difference between the smart notebook and OneNote, perhaps, is the fact that you can't really share it. As far as I know, I mean, it's been a couple of years since I've looked at smart notebook, but
I don't know. With the OneNote, it's accessible on the kids' phones as well, so they can access the notes on their phone or on anything else.
Yeah. Brilliant. As I say, Sarah, if you've got kid runs to do, we better wrap this up. It's been fascinating. I could listen to you, I guess, for quite a lot longer.
We never even got to talk about our augmented reality and our merge cubes and all these things that we've started bringing in as well. We'll leave that for another day.
It'd be great if you would come back and tell us some more sometimes, because it seems like you're doing a pair of great work over there. So thank you very much for coming on tonight. If you're listening or you're catching the end and you're looking for the audio, the podcast will be up in a couple of days or the weekend, depending on how quick I get to put the archive up on Edutalk, but it'll be up on edutalk.cc soon. If you're listening, either now or at some point in the future, thank you very much for listening. And before I hang up, I just say thank you again to Sarah. It's been great listening to you.
No problem at all. It's been great having a chat and talking about what's going on in the biology classrooms and the science classrooms. And I hope it's been. I hope people have found it useful. I've much enjoyed it.
I think it, way outside the biology or science classrooms, you can find this useful. So I'll hang up now on the broadcast, folks, and say goodnight. Cheers.